Welcome to Healthy Family Connections, the podcast for families wanting out-of-the-box solutions to parenting and relationship challenges, with your host, psychotherapist and author of Ending the Parenting Control Battle, Neil D. Brown.
Now, what do you do when you have a 50-50 shared custody agreement and your teenager refuses to go back to staying with her father, and he demands that you send her? We'll talk about this and a whole lot more on this week's podcast, Do I Force My Daughter to Stay with Her Father? It's sponsored by Neil D. Brown, LCSW, and I'm your host, Neil D. Brown, and I'm here to empower you to get that enjoyable family that you work for every day. And if you have a question you'd like me to address on this podcast, don't be shy. We're all going to benefit from your question. So come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and click on either for families or for treatment programs. Then click on any podcast and scroll down to the end where it says submit your question and enter it there. And why not do it today? And while you're there, download a free copy of my Parental Burnout Recovery Guide. And please remember, this is an educational podcast. It is not a substitute for psychotherapy when you need it. Well, today we're hearing from Sarah. And Sarah writes, I have a 15-year-old daughter, and her dad and I have 50-50 custody. She's always spent more time with me recently because he was remodeling his house. Now, she does not want to switch to his house. It doesn't go the other way around. She's been at my house about a month. I always tell her she needs to go to her dad's, offer to help her get her stuff organized and get over there, but now her dad wants me to say she isn't welcome to stay at my house when it's his turn to have her, and give her consequences if she doesn't go to his house. What is the best way to approach this? Wow, thanks for your question, Sarah, and it is an important and common one. I haven't received many questions regarding parenting in divorced families, and frankly, that topic deserves its own podcast. Now, parenting in an intact or single-parent family is challenging enough. When you parent in divorced families, the challenges can multiply. Now, sometimes couples divorce amicably, respect each other as individuals and as parents, and things go pretty well. They can talk about the kids, their needs, solve problems, and support each other. But often the dynamics that didn't work in the marriage continue after the separation and divorce, and those dynamics put the child or teenager in the middle. Now, of course, parents in general are going to parent differently. As parents, we all have different personalities, and we communicate differently, we set limits differently, we connect differently, so that's expected. But when parents disagree about essential values and decisions, and don't respect each other and don't collaborate, that will be experienced by the kids. And when there is chronic conflict between the parents, it will always put the kids in the middle. And different kids are going to respond to that differently. We're going to see sometimes aligning with one parent against the other, acting out with hostility, manipulating, trying to please both parents, or becoming anxious and depressed, sometimes self-harming with cutting, substance abuse, eating disorders. So, if there are issues between the parents, or if you are a parent doing a pretty good job and you're divorced from someone who does things you fundamentally disagree with, things that you see as harmful to your child, that can be unbelievably challenging and painful. I see it too often. Yipes. Okay, Sarah, let's take a look at your situation. Now, your daughter has generally spent more time with you, even though there is a 50-50 custody agreement. So, maybe you've been more physically available. Maybe you're more intuitive of her needs and create an emotionally more supportive, emotionally richer environment for her. Now, on the dark side, maybe you don't set as many limits and let her slide and act out without accountability. and now she wants to avoid appropriately high standards at her father's house. I don't really know, of course, although I really doubt that's what's going on here. But here are some things that we should generally think about. First of all, many kids around your daughter's age want one home and don't want to go back and forth. They simply want one home and will have a relationship with the non-physically custodial parent by connecting in other ways, doing things together, vacations and trips, maybe an occasional sleepover. And then the custodial parent may want or need to be out of town at times, and then there's the other parent and their home to back that up. So having a primary residence with one parent for a teenager and having and building relationship differently with the other parent, well, that's just fine. Sometimes the relationship with the non-custodial parent is better because they're not doing the day-to-day pick up your mess, do your homework, and all that other stuff. They just go do a project or do an event, and they get, you know, the icing on the cake. So, but what's missing from your description of what's going on here is communication and understanding of your daughter's thoughts and her feelings. Why does she want to end shared physical custody? Is she switching, going back and forth, and she's simply tired of it? Is she avoiding limits and accountability? Does her father lack the emotional support skills that she really needs? So all this starts with non-judgmental discussion. In your question, Sarah, it sounds like Dad isn't curious about his daughter's reasons or feelings. He wants to discipline her into compliance. He also wants to tell you what to do and have you demand her to go to her father's house. Now, that sounds just horrible. It sounds like bullying. It sounds like bullying is his way of communicating what he wants. Of course, he is trying to have his daughter stay with him at his house, so I'm guessing he loves his daughter, but doesn't know how to give her what she needs. I also feel for the guy, just remodeling his house and probably wanting to share that with his daughter, who now doesn't want to live there. That would be a painfully ironic situation. But Sarah, you've already been encouraging to go and she's not having any of it. So, principle number one is we need to do what's best for your daughter. That's why you're writing me. That, of course, isn't always agreeing with what she wants, but doing what's best. And if she wants something that's reasonable and it's thought out, then we should support it because we want kids to grow their independence and their decision-making skills. So what is needed here is understanding, and that comes with quality communication. Now, if her dad is simply not an emotionally available person and your daughter needs that, particularly at this point in her life, then the question is, how will they have a relationship together? Maybe there's a sport or activity they can enjoy together and they can engage there. Maybe they can build a routine for hanging out together. I'm not sure. Maybe it's time for your daughter to get a car that she and her dad can work on and get ready for when she's old enough to drive it. You know, maybe they could benefit from counseling together, not with the direct goal of her living again with her father, because that would be a disincentive to your daughter to work on the relationship, but to improve their connection with her father, learning how to understand and relate to her feelings, and your daughter learning to express her feelings and her needs in a way that he can hear them. But once again, Sarah, this needs to be fleshed out in discussion. Then, when you and she are clear about what your daughter is feeling and needing, you two can sit down with her father and have the discussion. If doing that is too tense or intense and he'll be hostile, then utilize a therapist who specializes in custody mediation and let them help your family work this through. Not so much with the idea, once again, that she's going to live, but with the idea of improving and understanding communication among all of you. Her father is going to be her father for his whole life, and he needs to relate to her now in a way where she'll want to stay engaged with him as she enters her young adulthood and her adulthood. She needs him. Also, Sarah, you don't want to be in the middle of their relationship. I'm sure you're feeling that. You can support it, but if your daughter reports that she's unhappy there, no, you don't need to do his bidding. Now, it doesn't sound to me like either your daughter or her father are particularly good emotional communicators. And what I mean by that is being good at identifying and communicating their own feelings and hearing and empathizing with others' feelings. So guess what, Sarah? That leaves you as the person who's going to need to step up and be the emotionally mature voice in the family. So here are two conversations you can have. Obviously, they're not going to be exactly this, but I just want to give you the flavor. And here's the first one with your daughter, and I'm going to make up a name, Corey, for her. Corey, I hear loud and clear that you want to make our house together your home base, and that's fine with me. And right now, your dad is upset and is not accepting that. I think we need to talk more about what your reasons are, what your feelings are, so we can explain them to him. Then we want to be able to talk about how the two of you will have your relationship and build your relationship, even while you're living here. Your feelings are important, but if there are problems for you with your dad, then he needs to hear that. And he needs to be given the opportunity to listen and make important adjustments. He can grow. Just because he's a grown-up doesn't mean we don't grow anymore. We always face relationship challenges in life, and we can avoid some of them. But other ones, like with a parent or like with a kid, they need to be addressed head-on. And like I said, your feelings are important, and you need to communicate them. Okay, how's that sound? Sarah, here's the conversation you can have with her dad. And I'm going to call him Bill, and I don't know Bill's capacity for listening, but you'll get the idea. Bill, I understand that you're upset that Corey doesn't want to go back to shared physical custody, and it would be a big mistake to force her to go. We need to communicate to her that her feelings matter to us, and you don't want to betray that premise, and neither do I. She has shared her reasons and feelings with me, and she needs to do that with you. She won't share her feelings if she has to face your anger. That's too scary for her. You need to be a safe, caring dad for her, and whether she lives at your house or not, you can have and build your relationship with her. You are her dad for life. These next 3 years will go quickly, so we want to make sure that we are parents that she'll always want to stay connected with. Make sense, Sarah? So, let's get you out of the middle and instead focus on health and connection, because that's what it's really all about. So, parents and those working with youth and family, physical custody after divorce is a dynamic and ever-changing landscape, and it requires really good communication and listening skills. That's the only way we'll understand what our youth are feeling and what they're needing. And when they want to change, to avoid accountability and move from a caring yet appropriately structured household to one that allows irresponsible behavior, maybe not a good idea, and it isn't allowed. Okay? But when their reasons are thoughtful and reasonable, then honoring their wishes is honoring them. And we can't expect our children and teenagers to respect us if we don't respect them. So, thanks for tuning in today, listeners, and special thanks to Sarah for her important question. And if you are a therapist who works in a behavioral health treatment program and you'd like to talk with me about improving outcomes in your program, come on over to my website, neildbrown.com, and shoot me an email or give me a call, and I'll be happy to talk with you. And please, take care of yourselves. You need it. You deserve it. You're worth it. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Healthy Family Connections with Neil D. Brown. If you have a question you'd like answered, head over to neildbrown.com/submit and enter your question for Neil there. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his weekly offering. You may want to pick up a copy of Ending the Parenting Control Battle at your favorite bookstore or online retailer. Join us again for the Healthy Family Connections podcast.